All right. Well, hey, it is great to be with you this morning. I'm so glad you're joining us here online. Hey, I want to begin this morning's message by telling you a story. And it's a strange but true story about a man that is often called the Last Soviet. This is cosmonaut Sergei Kirkov, and he was literally stranded in space. You see, on May 19th, 1991, he left the Soviet Union, rocketed to the Mir space station, where he did his assignments, he conducted a few experiments, completed his mission, and was supposed to come back to Earth just 2 months later. But you could say that Sergei had an historically bad case of timing, because while he was up in space, the communist government of the USSR basically collapsed and fell apart. And in the chaos that followed, his command station had to tell him that essentially they were canceling his flight home to Earth, canceling his return flight from space. I don't know about you, but I get a little upset when my flight is delayed out of Sacramento. Well, while he was stuck there in space, orbiting around the Earth, down below, everything from his world was changing. He was supposed to come back in July of 1991. He did not actually make it home until March of 1992. Now, the good news was, at that time, he held the record for the longest amount of time spent in space. But the bad news was, when he came back, it was like a scene out of a science fiction movie, because everything had changed. His country was gone. No more USSR. Now it was Russia. His flag had changed. His leaders had changed. Statues of heroes like Lenin and Stalin had been pulled down and were gone. In fact, in Moscow, one had been replaced with a statue of George Washington. Even the map had changed. He'd left from the city of Leningrad and he returned to the city of St. Petersburg. You want to talk about the stress of a fast-moving world. And yet, as crazy as that story is, I don't think it has anything on what we've been going through in 2020. In fact, try to imagine that you've been stuck in space for the last 8 months and you came home. How different things would look. Starting with, why am I watching church in my living room? I mean, just 10 months ago, at the start of 2020, I don't think any of us could have predicted the supersonic change that our world would go through. And it seems like still every week there is some new crisis, some new upheaval, some new controversy. In fact, I'm recording this message on Friday morning, and like a lot of you, I've been watching the election results, and they changed a lot from when I went to bed last night to when I woke up this morning. But I imagine by the time you watch this, if you watch it on Sunday, things could be completely different even still. But here's the thing. No matter who you voted for, no matter who you're pulling for, one thing we can count on is there is more change ahead. I promise you, there is more change ahead. And it doesn't appear like any of it is going to be easy. And we know for a fact that all of this constant change that happens in our life, change that happens in our world, this kind of stuff adds a lot of stress to people. And that stress leads to a state of fear, a short fuse, impatience, anger, depression, all those kind of things, and on, which is why I really strongly believe as Christians, we have got to strive to be instruments of peace and stability and reconciliation, even in this just crazy, topsy-turvy world that we live in. And so with all of that in mind, today we are beginning a new, just a little short, 3-week sermon series that is called Unchanging. And our focus is going to be on the nature and the character of God. Because the nature of God and the character of God does not change. Even as the psalm writer says, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the sea. So in other words, no matter what is going on, God's character, God's nature does not change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, as we think about the character of God, just think of a few of the images that the Bible uses to describe God. The Bible describes God as a solid rock. He is immovable. You can't push God around. He is a solid rock. He's a fortress. He's stable. You can run to him and find shelter and safety in him that will withstand whatever's going on outside around. He's a firm foundation. Like the solid rock, he can't be moved, but the firm foundation is also the one that you can safely build your life upon. And God, we're told, is like an anchor to us, an anchor that holds even when the winds and the waves beat against our lives. In fact, you may want to open your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 is where we are going to find kind of a theme verse, if you will, for this little series. And James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 says this: "Do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. In other words, don't be confused about this. Don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And if you have a pen and you want to write that in your Bible or in your notes, you might want to just circle or highlight those three little words: God does not change. I like the way that J.B. Phillips translates that little phrase. He said, "God is the one with whom there is never the slightest variation or shadow of inconsistency." The old hymn writer says it like this: "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, God, as you've been in the past, you forever will be." So when you talk about this unchanging part of God's nature, theologians use the word God is immutable. It literally means that God is unchanging. Immutable means God doesn't mutate. God doesn't evolve. He is immutable. Even when other things change around him, he does not change. In fact, God couldn't have said it any more clear than he says it through his prophet Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says this: "I, the Lord, do not change. The Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed." Now, as we think about the character of God, this is an awfully big topic, way more than we're going to get to today or we're going to get to even in 3 weeks. But as you think about the attributes of God, and especially as you kind of put them side by side, sometimes it can almost feel kind of overwhelming and hard to understand for us, because sometimes the character traits of God almost can feel like they're contradictory. What do I mean by that? Well, we say that God is loving and God is love. But we also say that God is just and God brings about justice. We say that God is kind, but God is also holy and pure. God is powerful and majestic, but God is also faithful, slow to anger, and abounding in love. And for us as humans, it doesn't make sense. You know, how can you be all those things? And it's almost like God would have to say, you know, today I'm going to be loving, but check back tomorrow because, you know, I'm gonna be just. And, you know, this week I'm gonna be holy and pure, but you're gonna wanna stick around because next month I'm gonna be kind. And so we kind of think that God, you know, can't be all of these things at one time. And yet the reality is that God is perfectly all of these things at one time. That God is loving in his justice. That God is kind in his holiness, that in his power and majesty, we see that he is abounding in grace and slow to anger. Some of these things that are hard for us because they seem like they're combative. And we say, well, you know, I only like one side of God. I like the loving and kind side of God, but I'm not sure about the justice or the holy side of God, right? I like the God of the New Testament. I'm not sure I can really get with the God of the Old Testament. But Romans says it like this: "Who can know the mind of the Lord or offer him any counsel?" And so while we may not fully comprehend the nature of God, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. I'm not sure I really want a God that I can completely wrap my mind around. I'm not looking for a God that always agrees with me. A God who always does things the way that I think that they should be done. A God who fits in my nice, tidy little box. In fact, the reality is that's not a God after all. That's an idol. And yet so many of us live with that kind of approach to God. God, we want you to do all these things that we like rather than just look at the full and the unchanging character and nature of God. The book of Numbers chapter 23 says it like this, and some of you just need to commit this verse to memory and repeat it to yourself all the time. God is not a man. Numbers 23, God is not a man that he should lie. He is not a son of man that he should change his mind. Friends, God is different from us. Well, you may say, hey, that's great. You know, as a theological concept, God's immutability is a really, you know, a good thing. I mean, I guess I find some comfort in that. But especially kind of in this crazy world that I'm living in, kind of in the words of, you know, that great scholar and Bible teacher, Steve Steele, so what? What difference does this make in my life? And so what I want to do for the remaining short time in our message today is, as we think about God's unchanging nature, I want to give you three anchors in a world of instability, things that we can grab onto to God's unchanging nature and character. And the first one is this, that God's word never changes. God's word never changes. That means that, as Psalm 145 says, that the Lord will always keep his promises. But it also means, as Isaiah 40 says, that the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. I mean, just this weekend, you could feel kind of the seasons changing, and that's natural. Seasons will come and go, but God's word will endure forever. Now, that's, again, strange for us as people, because as humans, we're kind of used to the stuff that people say, or the things that people write, that oftentimes it will change. You know, there's always things that are going out of style or needing to be corrected or needing to be adjusted. We're used to politicians that say one thing to this group of people, but then say, you know, a different thing to another group of people. We saw this recently in the election. Over the last few weeks, we've heard a lot about polling numbers and, you know, people that stood in front of us and said, you know, this polling data is just, you know, rock solid. And yet we see just a few days later that it wasn't as solid as they thought. You know, even scientific theory and in the scientific community, over time, things do change and evolve. And I'm not saying that we don't trust science. I'm not saying that we don't value science. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm thankful for the science that we have. But what I'm saying is, even in a community like the scientific community, over generations, the ideas and the theories change. And God's word stands forever. You know, it makes me think of what astronaut Alan Shepard said. Just before he was going into space on one of those early NASA missions, a reporter stopped him and asked him this question. Alan, what are you thinking right now? You're getting ready to hop in this rocket and fly to space. What are you thinking about right now? And he answered this way, I am counting on God's laws of physics to stay consistent. Because you see, when God created the world, he put some physical laws into place that are consistent, that don't ever change. And yet, not only did he give us those physical things, he gave us his spiritual truths that do not change. And those are revealed for us in the Bible. Now, for a lot of us, we'll struggle with that because we say, you know, this is an ancient book. It's written to a different culture in a different time. You know, how could we still, in our modern world today, where culture has changed so much, how could we still see God's word as true? And yet, one of the things that we find, and I really believe and have seen it in my own life, is that God's word actually transcends culture. I mean, just one argument for that, and one of the arguments that's always made a lot of sense to me about God's Bible is, even this morning, all around the world, there are billions of people that are opening up God's word from all different kinds of cultures, every different tribe, every different language. They're opening up the same book, asking it to guide their life in their culture. Now, that doesn't mean that each culture needs to understand and do the work to see what that means in our life. I'm also not in any way saying that if you have questions or if you have struggles or even doubts, that you're not welcome to bring those things. We see that when people came to Jesus with struggles, Jesus didn't push them away. He invited them in. And we want that to be true about our church as well. If you're a young person or whatever age you are and you struggle with some of these things, you need to know that the church is a safe place to ask your question, to work through those doubts together. But we're going to do it in a way where we start with this idea that God's word is unchanging. So how can we grapple with it? How can we understand it? We also have to recognize that so often temptation starts with the same phrase that the serpent said to Adam and Eve. And the temptation starts with this phrase, did the Lord really say? Did God really say that? Because once we start saying, well, did God really say that? Then again, we can begin to adjust and say, well, you know, I wish he didn't say that, or, you know, he couldn't certainly have meant those things. And so we can begin to change it. And temptation often starts with that phrase, did God really say? even though we know that God's word is unchanging. You know, Jesus talks about this, and he talks about it in the context of, you know, what's a person going to build their life upon? And he gives this famous example of someone who builds their house on the sand. And we all know that, you know, a person that builds their house on the sand may have a great ocean view for a time, but eventually the house on the sand falls flat. But instead, he says this. He says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So in other words, building our house on the rock includes hearing and obeying God's unchanging word. And God's word is unchanging. And in 2020, where it feels like everything else is in constant flux, one of my hopes is that would give you some comfort and that would give you some stability. But I also really hope that it chases you into the pages of God's word, where we find his truth that is a foundation no matter what is going on in the world around us. So the first anchor is God's word never changes. A second anchor that we can really grab a hold of is this: God's love is unending. God's love does not change. Now, Steve did a great job talking about this just last week as we looked at kind of the end of David's life. That's one of the truths that David comes back to, is that God's love is unending. But as we talk about God's nature, we need to talk about this idea that God's love never fails. In fact, Jeremiah 31:3 says it like this. God speaks and he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with an unfailing kindness. His love is everlasting. You know, we've been talking about just kind of tragic, terrible events of 2020. One of the worst ones for me is, the Dodgers won the World Series. And as a Giants fan, that's never good news. But as I was watching some of the World Series, they kept showing the owner's box. And in the owner's box was Magic Johnson, who's one of the part owners of the Dodgers now. And it reminded me of an interview that I heard Magic Johnson give years ago. And if you can believe it, it's actually been 30 years, or just about 30 years, since Magic, who at that, you know, was one of the greatest basketball players of all time, contracted HIV. And it was very early. People, you know, didn't know what to think about all this. But Magic tells this story about getting the news from the doctor. And he talked about the long drive home. You see, he just recently married his wife. His wife's name is Cookie. In fact, they were married the same month as Janie and I, September 1991. And so Magic tells a story of this long drive home from the doctor. And he's thinking up what he's going to say. How's he going to tell his wife about this? His wife, who, by the way, is pregnant at this time. And so Magic drives home and he opens the door and he says when he first saw her, he just burst into tears and the whole speech was gone. But eventually he came clean and he said, not only have I contracted HIV, but he says, I contracted it because I'd been unfaithful to you. And now I don't know if you have the disease as well, and if our unborn child might have the disease as well, because they didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know if they might have the infection as well. Well, fortunately, neither mother or baby did get the infection, but they didn't know that at the time. And so Magic said at the end of his little speech to Cookie, he says, you know, and if you want a divorce, if you want to just be over with this and you want to walk away, I completely understand and I will not make it difficult. And Magic said he fully expected that she would walk away at that point. Instead, Magic says that the first thing she did was she slapped him hard, whack. But then she said this. She says, all right, no more talk of that anymore. No more talk of that ever again. I will never leave you, and we will tackle this thing together. And the next thing that they did is they got down on their knees and they took hands together and they prayed. And now, almost 30 years later, Magic says it like this. He says, I'm thankful for the medicine. I'm thankful for the medical care that has allowed my life and my health to continue on like this. But he says, you know, without a doubt, the reason that I am alive today is because of her unending love for me. And I share that story with you because maybe you feel a little bit like that with God. You feel like, God, I understand if you are fed up with me. God, I understand if you know, I've blown it one last time and you just want to leave and you want to be done. You have every right to do that. God, I would get it. But God's unchanging word says he will never leave us or forsake us. And Romans 8 says it like this. I am convinced I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, whether the present or the future, nor powers, neither heights or depths, or anything else in all of creation will be able to do what? Separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. You see, God not only says that he loves us, but God demonstrates that love by sending and giving his son, Jesus Christ, and laying down his life for us. You know, I got just a little glimpse of a human example of this in the recent times. Many of you know that my father-in-law, Wayne West, passed away earlier this past week. And he and his wife, Karen, married 55 years. And in 1965, they made vows to one another that you know, not only would they stay together through better or worse, but they would love and honor one another till death do us part. And through this sickness, I got a front row seat to see two people live that out. And I saw a wife that honored and cared for and nurtured her husband all the way to the very end. And you know what? I saw a husband that honored and cared and nurtured his wife to the best of the ability that he could all the way to the very end. But here's the thing, I get that. I share that example. And some of us, maybe if you're married, you think, you know, that inspires me. I want to have that kind of love. And I want to stick that out. And maybe you think, well, that's a sweet story of love for them. But what about me? Right? That's not the experience that I've experienced in my life. You know, for me, my experience has been, and we've all gone through this at some level or another, some worse than others, but for you, for me, you may say my experience is, you know what, he said that he loved me, and then he wanted a divorce. Or he said that he loved me, and then he walked out on the family, or she walked away from the family. Or he or she, they said that they would love me, but then they found someone else that they seemed to like better. And it just doesn't make sense, right? Oh, how could this love be? How could there be this kind of unending love? It seems like a fairy tale. It seems like rainbows and unicorns, if you will. But you have to remember this. God is not a man that he can change his mind. No, God's character is he is unchanging, and his love for you will never change, right? That's what he says. Things that you will never hear God say is this. God will never say to you, I want a divorce. God will never say to you, I'm out of here. God will never say to you, I found someone better than you. And you can count on it. In fact, let that sink in. And let that be an anchor that you can hold securely. Because here's what I can tell you for sure. The turmoil that we're all in right now, the turmoil of this 2020 election season, is going to pass. 4 years from now, it'll be the most important election of a generation again. Somewhere down the line, COVID-19 is going to be over. Please, Lord, soon. But those things are going to change. But can I tell you what's not going to change? God's love for you and me is going to never change. And that's an anchor that holds us fast. And then a third anchor, as we kind of wrap things up this morning, is this. God's awesome power is always there. In fact, in some ways, this is the most practical of all these points, because you say, okay, I get it. God's word is true, and I want to live that out. And God's love is, you know, never ending, and I want to grab a hold of that. But honestly, how do I really live that out? How do I grab a hold of that stuff, especially when it just feels like I'm tired? I feel like it's a constant struggle over and over again. And it reminds me of Isaiah chapter 40 that says this, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord, he is an everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. And get this, he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. You know, one thing you will never hear God say, we've talked about some things we'll never hear God say. One thing you'll never hear God say is, you know what, I'm feeling kind of tired today. No, because God never grows weary. He does not grow tired, and his power never changes. And so, in other words, he can give us the power and the strength, even when we stumble and fall. You know, there's a kind of a philosophy or kind of a theological idea that is not not Christianity, although I think we see that a lot of Christians kind of have adopted this and live with this kind of mentality. But this theological idea is called deism. And the idea behind deism is that God is real and that God made the world, but it's kind of like this. God is a divine watchmaker, and God made the watch and of the world, and he wind it up and he put it in its place, and then he took his hands off and he just let it alone. And so the watch is just running, and the maker can see it and he's off at a distance, but he's uninvolved with it. But I need to tell you, that is not the truth of Christianity. Now, sometimes it may feel like God is uninvolved because we live in a fallen world because of sin. Sometimes it may feel like God is uninvolved because God gives us free will. But I can promise you, God has not taken his hands off this world, and God has not taken his hands off your life. I heard one preacher say it like this: you know what? I need God's power in my life, and I need it for at least three reasons. I need the power to stop, I need the power to start, and I need the power to stay. I need the power to stop some of the thinking or the behaviors or those even addictive behaviors that I have in my life. I need God's power so that I could stop those things. And God, I need your power because I need to start some things. God, I need to start some things that are going to connect me deeper into you, things that are going to bring your best into my life. And God, I need your power because I need to stay. I need to stay strong when I don't feel like it. I need to stay strong when I'm tired. I need to stay strong and to stay connected to Christ. But here's the good news. As Paul writes about the power of God, he says this incomparably great power for those of us who believe. And that power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. If you need power to stop, power to start, power to stay, or whatever you need of God's power in your life, the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is available to those that would turn their lives and follow after him. And so in conclusion, I'm with you, right? I get it. There has been a lot of change this year. I'm actually one of those strange people who doesn't mind change. I actually kind of like change and kind of, you know, energized by it. But even for a guy like me, I'm like, enough is enough. I am over it. And I'll be honest, I don't know what this next month holds. I don't know what this next week holds. I don't know what the next year holds for us as a nation. I don't know what this next year holds for us as a state. I don't know what this next month holds for us as a church. I don't know what this next day means for my life or from your life. But what I know is this. I know someone who does. And it's Jesus Christ. Hebrews says it like this. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so you can be at peace in him, and you can trust him today.